Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of the testimony today from the White House counterterrorism chief John Brennan, whose nomination to head up the CIA drew sharp questions from hawks and doves on the contentious issues of drone policy and assassination authority. A former CIA official, Melvin Goodman, the author of National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism, joins us to discuss recent efforts to pry secrets from the White House over its drone policy. Then, since John Brennan is considered the architect of the drone program and his testimony today was delayed due to protesters expressing outrage that the U.S. government operates what many consider to be an assassination program with limited oversight that is not subject to international law, we'll look into the size and scope of the drone program. Bill Roggio joins us. He is the editor of the Long War Journal, which is considered the leading authority on the numbers of drones the U.S. has and how many targets they have struck in what countries and the extent of collateral damage involved in these strikes. Then finally, we'll speak with economist James Galbraith about the standoff in Washington over the future of the economy and the nation's economic recovery that has repeatedly been held hostage by congressional Republicans trying to get tax cuts for their wealthy donors and cut government programs they don't like or want to privatize. We will discuss whether, as some have suggested, that before they cause another recession, the Congress should take the Hippocratic Oath on the economy. Joining us now is Melvin Goodman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service in the CIA, State Department, Defense Department, and the U.S. Army. In 1991, he was one of three former CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as Director of Central Intelligence on the grounds that he had slanted intelligence to suit policy. He's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, and his latest book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. Welcome to Background Briefing, Melvin Goodman.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be with you again.
And what was your impression of how John Brennan handled himself today, given that, of course, initially the proceedings were interrupted by protesters who were clearly expressing outrage at the fact that, I guess, he's most identified as the architect of the drone program. But what was your sense of how he equipped himself?
Well, I think John Brennan handled himself very well, but I thought he had a very easy time of it. I thought the committee was particularly feckless. It reminded me of about 8 years ago when Michael Hayden, General Hayden, was up for confirmation, and no one asked Hayden about the warrantless eavesdropping he was responsible for when he was director of the National Security Agency. Here, there were so many things that Brennan could have been asked and could have been pressed on, particularly the details of the memo that talks about targeting Americans, that referred to a high-level official who was informed if he saw an imminent attack could make the decision to kill an American without any checks and balances, without any review, without any accountability. Who is an informed high-level official? In what agency? At what level is a high level? What do they mean by an imminent attack? Are they talking about the same kind of an intelligence that we used to go to war against Iraq in 2003? And then there were some prior issues that should have been raised with regard to Brennan, which led to the president not nominating him in 2009, when clearly Brennan was a big supporter of extraordinary renditions and was sort of Tenet's spokesman on the Sunday morning talk shows with that regard, with Brennan always claiming that I never had operational authority for the policy. Well, no, he wasn't in that position. He was essentially a high-level staff assistant, but he was the person who was the public face for the CIA. And then what really bothered me that didn't get challenged today, Brennan has always claimed that torture and abuse led to information that led directly to the killing of bin Laden. Now we have apparently a classified 6,000-page Senate Intelligence Committee report. He claims to have read the summary of it, and he said he was shocked by the findings and can no longer say that intelligence from torture and abuse led to the killing of bin Laden. Well, I think this is a classic case of willful ignorance. If Brennan wanted that kind of information about the sadistic torture, the kind of sadistic torture that was on the torture tapes that were destroyed by a CIA operations officer, I think he could have could have gotten that information. There's no reason for him to be shocked at this time and saying he may have to change his opinions on certain things. So I found it an appalling performance by the committee, but given Dianne Feinstein's delicate handling of the committee over these recent years, I can't say I was surprised. But I think we were led to believe there would be a few more fireworks than we got.
Well, Melvin Goodman, it seemed as if with Ron Wyden, his letter and the leak to Michael Isikoff of NBC News, that they were really trying to smoke the White House out. And, of course, Dianne Feinstein has said that in her opening statement that she intends to propose legislation to create a new court to oversee the targeted killings. How sincere are they about it? Because I assume that in their positions on the Senate Select Intelligence Committee, they have access to a lot of information. Now, they're saying that the White House would only give this information to the principals and not to the staff. What's your sense of whether they're posturing and whether they really want to know, or whether indeed they're happy to allow the president to have this sort of, you know, hold the bag on this?
I think the committee, particularly the Chairman Feinstein and the Democrats, want to give the impression that they're holding a rigorous hearing. So they cannot be challenged on the kind of hearing that we've seen so far. So they're giving the impression of some criticism of Brennan and some willingness to challenge Brennan. But overall, you had people like Jay Rockefeller, Barbara Mikulski, Mark Warner, who were cheerleaders for Brennan. When there were serious issues that needed to be discussed, no one brought up Benghazi in the context of Benghazi, not as a consulate, which I really don't think that it was. It was an intelligence platform. This wasn't a State Department disaster. This was a CIA disaster and a CIA security problem and a CIA failure. But Brennan should have been asked about that. Brennan should have been asked about Iran and the various covert action programs and the policies toward Iran and the failure of intelligence with regard to the Arab Spring a year and a half ago. He wasn't asked about that. Brennan should have been asked about the fact that the Inspector General has been severely weakened at the CIA, which is the major body for internal oversight within the intelligence community. So there were so many things that needed to be discussed. I thought Wyden was serious. I thought Chambliss, the vice chairman of the committee, did a pretty good job. And Susan Collins from Maine is always pretty solid. But overall, I think the document about legalized killings of Americans is disturbing. I thought the hearings today were disturbing.
Again, I'm speaking with Melvin Goodman, who's a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service at the CIA, State Department, Defense Department, and the U.S. Army. In 1991, he was one of three former CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as Director of Central Intelligence on the ground that he had slanted intelligence to suit policy, and he's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. And his latest book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. Now, you just mentioned the minority chair, Senator Saxby Chambliss, who's retiring apparently. I thought he asked a key question where he asked Brennan whether he would rather kill terrorists than put them in prison. Brennan's reply was, I have never believed it is better to kill a terrorist than to detain him. But my understanding is that is not so. I mean, isn't it true that one of the rationales for using drones against these so-called high-value targets is that the argument is, well, it'll cost us more lives to go into the inhospitable no-man's land on the Afghan-Pakistan border than it would to zap them with a drone?
Exactly. I think that's one of the biggest changes we've seen since the Bush administration and the Obama administration. The Bush administration used the drone rather carefully in a calculated fashion, because I think the emphasis, and I think the generals supported this, and so did the CIA station chiefs supported this, that it was better to capture these terrorists and try to elicit information. But under Obama, I think they're trying to kill as many individuals as possible. We've seen 400 of these flights that have killed more than 3,000 people, and it was Brennan in a press conference 2 years ago who said, we haven't killed any civilians. we know that's not to be the truth either, and he should have been pressed on that. But again, nothing was forthcoming. I mean, he is the architect for this policy. He is Obama's man for the use of the drone for targeted killings, the same policy that we have told the Israelis is the wrong policy to be conducting in Gaza and the West Bank, and it's exactly what we're doing in countries where we have no declaration of war, no state of war, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia. Now we're looking for a base in Niger that will probably conduct operations against Mali and Libya and Nigeria. I mean, it's expanding. And maybe some of this will come up in the classified session, the secret session that will be held on Tuesday, but more could have been asked in this particular session. And at the very end, what I found most troubling on Brennan's part was, I want this committee to be an advocate for the CIA. Well, no, we don't want the Senate Intelligence Committee to be an advocate for the CIA. It was created in the mid-1970s after CIA abuses by the Church Committee's piece of legislation, because it was supposed to monitor the CIA. It was the external oversight body for the CIA. So, you know, this committee doesn't understand its role, and Brennan doesn't understand what the committee is supposed to be all about. So it made for a very disturbing picture over a three-hour period this afternoon.
Well, Mel Goodman, I'm sort of disturbed by the notion that what we're talking about here ultimately is oversight over assassinations. The very fact that, you know, you have to have oversight over assassinations. I thought that they were banned by the Church Committee back then. That you
exactly.
And now, you know, clearly the drone program, it's not the instrument that we're talking about. It's what it does. It's a tool of assassination, you know. So
exactly. And it's a tool of assassination that's administered and orchestrated by the President of the United States without any checks, without any balances, without any oversight or accountability. And Eric Holder, the Attorney General, gave a speech about a year ago in which he said there was a question about due process. And Holder said in a remark that I find unfathomable, due process doesn't mean a judicial process. Well, what could due process be if it isn't a judicial process? And then in a recent press conference, you had someone like Jay Carney said that the policy of these targeted killings is legal, ethical, and wise. Now, I think that statement could be challenged on all fronts. You even have retired CIA officials, operational officials with a lot of experience in that area, who feel that it's not wise, that it's counterproductive over the long term. And Stanley McChrystal, General McChrystal, says in his book, it's creating more terrorists and insurgents than it could ever annihilate. So we've got to stop to look at the long term, look at the strategic implications, look at the role of the United States in the Middle East in the wake of two unwinnable wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and how long are we going to persist with this policy of targeted killings where even Americans are involved? You know, everyone on both sides of the desk today, the committee and John Brennan, were quite satisfied that, yeah, the killing of Awlaki was quite legitimate and even legal. Well, why didn't someone ask about 2 weeks after Awlaki was killed, his 16-year-old son, who happens to be an American citizen, was also killed in a drone attack. So he's one of the four or five American citizens who've been killed, going back to 2002 in Yemen. Again, these things just never came up.
Well, just in the last minute, Melvin Goodman, what is going on with Obama? I mean, he is supposed to be a liberal or a centrist, but he's more hawkish on national security than any recent president. And I imagine he feels that that's good for him in terms of the American center. It obviously is upsetting a lot of his liberal supporters. He's gone after Kirikou, for example, the CIA guy, which I find mystifying, because any reporter can find out who's a station chief anywhere in the world. I mean, it's not, and yet the guy's going to jail. He's really been very hawkish, and I'm curious.
Well, it's been a public. I mean, you say he's a liberal and a centrist, and I would agree, but he's also a constitutional lawyer. And look at his unwillingness to invoke the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitutions that deal with illegal searches and seizures, that deal with due process, that deal with a fair and speedy trial. I mean, I'm not carrying a brief for Bradley Manning, but he's waited nearly 3 years to go on trial for the release of documents to WikiLeaks. So there are a lot of issues on the constitutional side that remind us of what President Eisenhower said about the danger of permanent war, the impact it will have on civil liberties. Well, we're certainly seeing that in this country. We have permanent war. He doesn't call it the global war on terror, but Obama is still fighting a global war on terror, and as a result, there are serious civil liberties issues that need to be discussed. One final point about something that Brennan should have been asked about. Brennan has been very laudatory of a program in New York, the New York Police Department, versus the Muslim community there. This is a program that's harassed the Muslim community. It's led to no leads that have led to a criminal investigation. And it's been defended by Brennan, where one of his former colleagues, head of operations at the CIA, David Cohn, is head of the Intelligence Bureau of the New York Police Department. You know, why didn't this come up?
Sure. I'm afraid we've run out of time, but I thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. It's always good to be with you.
And we'll catch up on your book soon. Again, I'm speaking then with Melvin Goodman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service at the CIA, State Department, Defense Department, and U.S. Army. In 1991, he was one of three former CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as Director of Central Intelligence on the grounds that he had slanted intelligence to suit policy. He's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, and his latest book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the scope and nature of the drone program.